Well, I want you to try to imagine with me. Some of you may have been here or may be going in the future, but I want you to try and imagine the dry, rocky wilderness that surrounds the Dead Sea. Rusty layers of sedimentary deposit. There's hardly anything green. No marine life exists there because of the salinity of the water. It is toxic, actually. It has built up so much because there's nowhere for the Dead Sea waters to go. They're just stopped up. There's no life there. It's kind of fun to float in. You may have floated in the Dead Sea. That's kind of cool. But no life is there. Nothing is generated there. There is no fruit there. But long ago, an Old Testament prophet named Ezekiel had a vision about life coming into the Dead Sea. In a dream, God took Ezekiel to the temple in Jerusalem. And as he looked at the temple, he could see a trickle of water coming out from under the altar. And this trickle of water grew and grew until it rushed out of the gates of Jerusalem and went down, 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 cascading into the dry, rocky mountain wilderness that eventually, 85 kilometers later, was the Dead Sea. And when the river, this fresh water, emptied into the Dead Sea, the water in the sea became fresh, and swarms of living creatures lived wherever the water flowed. And there were just vast numbers of fish, and on the banks of this place, there were fruit trees that just had abundant fruit. Well, in our gospel reading from John, when Jesus stands up on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles and says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him or her." He's alluding to that vision from Ezekiel, and he's not talking about H2O. He is using water as a metaphor for the Spirit of God, what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, which when it touches things, makes them live to the truest, most beautiful life that they were always intended to live. You know, the Holy Spirit's hard to talk about, but the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, uncreated, part of who we worship on Sunday, unique, personal, not an it. Remarkably hard not to say it when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who we know primarily through action, through experience in our lives and in the church. The comforter, the advocate, the helper. The Holy Spirit seems very concerned with pointing out who Jesus really is. The Holy Spirit is always pointing. Look at Jesus. Because there is this urgency in people knowing the love of Jesus. The Holy Spirit points out our need for Jesus. Our need for the one who gave his life for ours. In the words of Scripture, the Holy Spirit convicts us. I remember a long, dry spell I had in my faith. I hadn't gotten around to going to church for a long time. You know, the children. Sunday was the one day that we could just sort of relax a little bit, get our breath. I mean, I popped in for holidays, you know, for the good ones. But I wasn't really committed to attending regularly, to being formed by the liturgy. You know, you say these words over and over and over again, and things happen to you. I wasn't committed to that. To the prayers, to receiving the body and blood, to showing up for the actual living God who I suspected would meet me there, who wanted me, who wanted time with me. But one day, someone invited me to their church. It was actually super sneaky because, in fact, he had a son, and he said his son, who was four, was inviting my daughter to church. Like, I was going to let my four-year-old daughter go to some random church without, you know, going with her to make sure it was a good church. I knew something was going to happen to me if I went. And when I got behind the steering wheel of my car, my hands were sweating. I knew, like an addict needs a dose, I needed the living God. That was the Holy Spirit. Maybe someone here today has felt that much urgency in coming this morning. Welcome. You've come to the right place. But that inner conviction bringing me to church on Sunday, instead of the Essex County Club to play tennis, was the Holy Spirit. As the scriptures say, convicting me of sin. And most importantly, gently giving me courage to meet the God who loved me and knew everything about me better than I did. At the time, there was not a particular sin or a regret that had, you know, soaked into my consciousness. Those particularities came later. The Holy Spirit was gentle. But what I knew was that there was an aching emptiness and a frantic distractedness. And I suppose a great insufficient self-centeredness, self-reliance. The Holy Spirit convicted me of need, a need only the living God could ever meet. When Jesus stands up on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles and says, "Whoever believes in me, whoever, not some special little sin-free, correct, tidy group, whoever, whoever, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him or her." He is saying that his spirit, which he was going to send after his death on the cross and his resurrection to life, God's plan has always been life, good life, beautiful life, and his ascension to the Father. His spirit will bring life back to whoever wants it. And yes, we do have to want it. The Spirit of God does not just, you know, like some football tackler, kick you down and force you to have him or her. The Holy Spirit is gentle and polite and asks, "Do you want me to come into your church? Do you want me to come into you?" Well, are you empty today? Are you feeling useless? Are you dead inside? Or maybe just tired? Are you trapped in some spiraling pattern of self-destruction? Well, I'm here to say that is okay, because there is very good news this morning, this Pentecost Sunday. If you want, the Holy Spirit will give you life. As the waters brought life to that dead sea in that vision, the Holy Spirit brings life to you and to me. Of course, it can be scary to be filled by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit changes us from something to something for something. The Holy Spirit doesn't just sort of fill our need and leave us comfortable so we feel complacent and, you know, sort of, no, that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit causes streams of living water to flow from us into the world. Look at what happened to those disciples on the day of Pentecost. Remember, they had seen the risen Jesus, but he had ascended to heaven and told them to wait in Jerusalem to be clothed in power by the Holy Spirit. So they had been waiting and praying, and quite frankly, not much was happening. Is this real? They must have been thinking. But it is important to note that John and Luke and later St. Paul are very clear that there was a time before the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, to use our water image, a time before the waters flood into the Dead Sea and make it alive. And then there was a time after. It wasn't as if the disciples already had this inner gift and they just needed to rediscover it, you know? Like the movie Miracle, when a bunch of self-absorbed athletes through hard work and some great inspirational speeches finally managed to win against the Soviet ice hockey team. Or Seabiscuit, when a down-and-out jockey and a broken racehorse and a bereft owner come together to win at Santa Ana. These are great stories of overcoming, but they are not about the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who is released into the world by the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit who infuses the church and individual believers, if we ask, infuses them with faith, with gentleness, with eternal life, of which all these things are signs. The disciples did not just try harder to follow Jesus in a human way, and bingo, through their efforts, they were equipped. No, they waited, and the Spirit came upon them and transformed them for ministry. But what does all this dramatic Pentecost event mean for us now? Are we still filled by that Holy Spirit at St. George's? Yes? Yes? Yay! Oh, man! Yes, we are, because God promised to do that. That is what God promised to do. And there may be some of you who say, oh, I don't. As individual believers, we can renew the Spirit of God. We can ask for we're leaky. We can ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. But God is here in His Holy Spirit and all over the world. And by way of encouragement, a report from England. I was just there with Richard. We were on a pilgrimage with some DMin students, retracing the very earliest places where testimony and witness to Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit was awakening in England, in northern England, from Scotland, then to the east coast of England, and then down into central Britain. And it was a marvelous trip. But last Sunday, we were in a tiny church on this little island of Lindisfarne. St. Mary the Virgin, all 30 of us from all over the world, speaking all those beautiful languages that we heard in this little church, kind of overwhelming it. Well, it came time for the sermon, and a tiny lady, hunched over, made her precarious way up the pulpit steps. And all of us, I know, were bracing ourselves. I'm embarrassed to say it, for a weary word. But out of her mouth came streams of living water. We were all ears, stunned, delighted, encouraged by her faith, her great learning, and her perseverance. She was 92. She was the first woman who was ordained a priest in the Church of England. And what is even more remarkable on a personal note is that just two nights before, I'd been sitting with four other women who had been ordained to the priesthood. And we were all lamenting, who will be the one, our mentor, who's gone on before us, that we can look to lead this full, faithful life as a woman priest, a priest who occasionally wears high heels. Where is she for us? And there she blew. The Holy Spirit is at work throughout the world. The Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord Jesus, is here now with us, nudging us, equipping us to believe in the goodness and love of God for us, encouraging us to step out of our comfort zone. Why? Because we have eternal life. Gently changing our self-centeredness into Jesus-like love, which is kind, gentle, persevering, patient, true. But today, pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit in your own life, in this church. When you come forward to receive and you hold out your hands, ask God to meet you afresh. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.